because if you do, I'm going to make you tell the class. But you know, I tell dads, I said so many women in our generation deal with depression and anxiety. And I said, they need to hear your testimony. And that's why I really wanted her to come and share this morning. And what we're doing is putting God's word in our heart. And I can think of no other chapter more beautiful than John 15, where we are this morning. So let's jump back in to John 15. And we're going to go back to this analogy, this picture of a branch, a vine dresser. And we covered the first three verses last week, and today we're going to come to verse 4 and go to the end of verse 11. Let's start by just reading. Now, as I read, I want you to circle the word abide, okay? Just circle the word abide. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The word abide was spoken 10 times from verse 4 to 11. Now, as we come to look at these verses this morning, let me give you a little bit of the context. And what we're going to do is I'm probably not going to be able to finish this lesson, but we'll just pick up next week, okay? When Jesus is saying you in these verses, who are the you that he's talking to? He's directing this word to his faithful 11 disciples. So write that on your handout. They left, and it wasn't because they left. Wait a minute. When Jesus says you, he's directing these words to his faithful. Yes. Oh, did you take me?
I did, darn.
No wonder that didn't match up. I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't work. Thank you, that helps me a lot. All right, write this down. Judas has left. He's no longer with him. He's the branch that doesn't abide. He defected. Now, honestly, ladies, if we could have been there and looked at the 12 disciples that night, up until this point in their time with Jesus, and someone said one of these 12 is going to be a defector, they're going to be a vine that is going to be cut off, it's going to be dried and withered and cast into the fire. Which one do you think it is, Teresa? If I was just looking at the 12 disciples, well, the truth is, outwardly, I might have picked Peter, to be truthful with you, because Peter seemed to stumble more than the others. He seemed to have this dominating self-confidence. It seems that he overstates his affection, his strength, his commitment. We might have thought, I wonder if it could be that loudmouth man, Peter. They were all grieved that night when Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me." And they began asking one another, "Is it I? Is it I, Lord? Is it I?" And the point I'm trying to make is there was nothing visible about Judas that made him the obvious one who wasn't truly abiding in Christ. That made it obvious that he wasn't the fruitless branch. And you know, in our churches, every church has fruitless branches that are part of the church. They're branches who come in, they make some kind of a profession, interest in Christ, but the sad reality is there are many fruitless branches attached to the body of Christ. And we're going to get more into that in this lesson. But first I want you to go back to verse 4. And I want you to notice the command there. Jesus commands them in verse 4, "Abide in me." Now let's look at that word abide. What does it mean? It means to stay or to remain. So write that on your handout. To stay or to remain. It means not to forsake, not to walk away, not to leave. Don't do what Judas did, is what Jesus is saying. And we all can think of people who came and they were around for a little while and then they left. And it wasn't because they left town. They actually left God. And they left God's people. Do you need something? Jennifer Young? I don't think so. Oh, Jennifer? I just met you. Here she is. She's coming. All right, back to our lesson. It wasn't that they left town. They left God and God's people and God's word. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. Remain, stay, abide. And the question comes, why should I abide, Teresa? And starting in verse 4, we're going to be seeing the blessings of abiding just unfold for us. And this is so rich. And that's what I want us to start looking at this morning. It's going to take me a few Sundays to get through them all, but it is so worth our time. And I don't want us to hurry. So you know what that means? It means you're going to have to come back next week, right? Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I promise I will be back. So let's just start with the very first blessing, and I've only got a few minutes to introduce it, but that's okay. We'll pick it up next week. And the first blessing is eternal salvation. Now, before we get into it, I want you to talk around your tables a minute, and I want you to answer this question. If someone were to ask you, what does it mean that you are a Christian, what would you say? Spend a minute or two around your table. What does it mean that you're a Christian? You know what? We're out of time. Let me just give you some answers. Some of us might say, oh, it means I belong to a church. It means I go to worship. It means I go to Bible study. It means I believe certain things in the Bible. But I want to give you a bottom line definition of what it means. And then after I give it to you, we'll pick up there next week. Because this verse says so much in so few words. If you are a Christian, here's what it means. Write it down. It means God lives in you. That's what the bottom line meaning is. Write it down. God lives in you. Now go back to verse 4 and hear what Jesus is saying there. He's saying to his faithful disciples, abide in me, and then notice, and I will abide in you. Who is in me? Yes, the Trinity. Jesus is saying, Teresa, I will abide in you. And I'm going to show you as we come back God is also in me. Jesus is in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. They've all come and made their home in my life. And that is the bottom line meaning of what it is to be a Christian. This is the way we need to learn to think, ladies. You know, I'm sitting there thinking about this concept. I wish I had the words, the fancy words, the meaningful words to make this come to life. My words fall so short, but as I'm studying this, I'm feeling it in my heart. And my heart just starts praising God because He's in me. He's in me. You know what? He's in me. And He can tell me things. He can reveal things to us. We just need to understand what is in us. And what makes me different from the branch that has no fruit is the fruit giver is in me. That's why the fruit comes out, you see. And the problem with the fruitless branches is they don't have the fruit giver in them. And there can be no fruit. Now, we've got a lot to talk about with this. What is fruit? And I've got so much more I want to say about Christ in us. But we'll pick it up next week, okay? So, please be back. This is so good. I want you to get it. So let's pray together, and thank you again, Babs, for your wonderful testimony, and then we'll go to worship. Our Lord, thank you for the blessing, just this little glimpse, that we're abiding in you, and you are abiding in us, and you are going to bring us clear all the way to eternity, and we'll be glorified with you. It's an amazing thing, Father, to think that the Creator God of the universe is in me. Lord, I pray you'll bring these ladies back next week as we study your word together. I thank you for how deep your word is, how rich it is. We don't want to rush through it. We want to squeeze out all the richness that is in us, that it might nourish our souls, and that we might be transformed. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. We'll pick up there.